It's a delight to be here, and I'm very happy to speak into the theme that Reverend Kevin has created for this month, which is This Evolving God. And the talk for today is Onward and Upward. And I always find the Sunday after Easter to be a very special time. And I invite you to just feel that you've gone through the annual global event of the Easter, Passover, spring celebrations with all kinds of energy that calls us to lay things down and lift up. And if you think of your life as moving up a mountain to the high place ultimately of seeing and knowing the reality of God, you might think that for today, you've come to a vista point at a higher place than you've ever been before. Because with all that laying down and lifting up, whether you engaged with it fully or not, you've been in the energy of it, I'm sure something has taken place. Something has taken place that has evolved your life in some way. And anyway, you can make me right. And just imagine that you're standing at a high vista point, higher than you've ever been before, really at the pinnacle of your evolution, looking out over your life and seeing it for what it has been. And seeing with the great eyes of appreciation everything that you have been walking through, what you have accomplished, what was easy, what was challenging, what you've let go of, what you've embraced. And just take a moment to rest and to breathe and to see, truly to see, that you've been moving up the spiral of life. Can you relate to that? Because something always takes place at this time of year because we, like the natural environment, have been lifting into newness. And so really you are at the highest place that you've ever been before, and there's more to do to move onward and upward, but I invite you just to be conscious about this place that you now stand. And to allow this new place to be your new normal. And to move forward from here with all that you have gained in this experience of life. Lee and I were sharing about this before the first service, and he was just having a moment of appreciating doing the role that he is doing today to really hold all of these three services and lead and guide us. And he was remembering that where he started was assisting Steve Cooper in a Wednesday service, and one night Steve asked Lee to ring the bowl. And he was petrified. And that's where it all began. And look at him now. And so in some way, you too have been walking your path. And so I want you to lift your right arm up, bend at the elbow, pat yourself on the back, and say out loud, job well done. Excellent. And to live that now as your new normal, everything that you've gained, where you stand now, and begin to live the evolution of your life so far, the evolving of your life so far. And I know that whatever the change has been, whether it's been great or whether it's been subtle, it's been important. Because you are moving up the spiral of life, you're heading our whole path in religious science. It is about coming to the mountaintop where we ultimately see the radiant reality of God as not only the truth of all life, but the truth of our very own being. So if you wondered where you're going, that's where you're going. It's up to you how fast you go, but that's where you're going. And so we're traveling onward and upward. So Reverend Kevin, on the website, I always acknowledge Joe Chivarella for how beautiful the Universal Spirit Center website is. And Reverend Kevin did a nice write-up about this month's theme, so I invite you to look at it. And he quoted Ernest Holmes, and he said, God is doing something to and through every one of us all the time. God is doing something to and through every one of us all the time. And I would add to that that what God is doing, at least from one point of view, is evolving our awareness of it. And that as we live our life, we're actually evolving in our awareness of what God is, or spirit or life, please freely translate. And there is an intimate relationship between what we know about God and what we know about ourselves. So that our unfolding, expanding understanding of God actually leads to an unfolding, expanding, and understanding awareness of ourselves. The two are intimately related. And when we grow in our awareness of what God is, we grow in our awareness of what we are, and vice versa. If we take a step in our awareness about into the greater truth of who we are, our idea of God shifts and changes. So in the Christian tradition, there's a very beautiful teaching, and it says this. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. So when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. And then it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. In other words, as we travel the spiritual path, we let go of childlike ideas or childish ideas, not that we ever want to lose the innocence and joy of the child within us, but that we let go of ideas based on less information and things that we came to understand with the child's mind. And our ideas of God are part of that shift. And we see the reality of God first like we're seeing through something dim or dark we barely see. But as we travel this path of awakening, we will ultimately come face to face with the reality of God. Ultimately, we will. And over time, even though now we see in part, we will see fully, ultimately, this radiant truth. And as we see it, it will see us. As we know, we will be known. So Ernest Holmes in the textbook puts it this way. He says, there is spirit or invisible cause and nothing, or no thing. There is spirit, invisible cause, and nothing, out of which all things are made. And so if there's spirit and nothing out of which all things are made, that means all things are made out of spirit, which includes you and me and everything else in existence. And so that means that you are the very reality of God right here on earth. So take a breath. And Ernest Holmes, and he says, that's why we are called the Son of God or the Son Daughter of God, because we are brought forth from the One. Your parents had a role to play. They were your genetic shoot. You know, they had a role to play. But you could say your true parentage is the source from which you have come. At least that's what we teach. And so Ernest Holmes goes on to say, we now know, this is early on in the textbook, by the way, this is page 36. He gets right to it. He says, we now know that this is what we are because we could not be anything else. We now know that this is what we are because we could not be anything else. But we do not know how much of this we are. We do not know how much of this spiritual reality that we are. And so you could say that this path that we walk, this path of awakening that we walk, and we are a path of awakening here, is that from moment to moment, from rung of the spiral to rung of the spiral, from step by step, from step to step, from challenge to challenge, from realization to realization, from practice to practice, we are coming into a greater realization that God is what we are. And that's exactly what we are here to do on this spiritual path. And so, we're moving toward the fullness of this realization. And you are farther along in this realization than you have ever been. That's part of seeing from that high place today. And he says, when we see it as it is, we will see ourselves as we are. When we can open our eyes and actually see God for what it is as the source and substance of all things, we will start to understand something new about ourselves. And he says, we can only see it by looking through our own eyes. And so when our seeing shifts, our understanding shifts. And then he says this really interesting thing that I've thought about for many years. We shall find a better God when we shall have arrived at a higher standard for the human. When we arrive at a higher standard, a higher sense of what we are, we will have a better God. Yeah. So the understanding here is that God is to us what we believe God to be. And the recovery movement talks about the God of your own understanding. And so even though here we talk about the one God, the presence, power, and life, we probably have, you know, as many different versions of that in the room as our people here, our own different levels of understanding of that truth. But God is to us what we believe God to be, and because it is done unto us as we believe, we will get the God we believe in. We will get the God that we believe in, and we will conform around us what speaks about the God that we believe in. Yeah. So Reverend Kevin also wrote this on his website. He said that he could feel his own images of God evolving from guiding father to loving presence. And so that made me think about how my own images of God have shifted over time. And I want to speak to that just a little bit and really invite you to think about your own path of unfoldment, how your own ideas of God have changed over time. I was not religiously trained, and I consider that a pretty great blessing because I didn't really have to get over anything to come into religious science. I was baptized. I was actually baptized a Catholic, but there wasn't support really for that. And went to a Presbyterian church and a Baptist church, but I knew the Bible had more in it than what they were telling me. And I just couldn't get it. And I just couldn't get the way they were doing it. And so, but I was raised with enough of the Judeo-Christian tradition to believe that God was an old man with a long white beard sitting in a throne up in the sky. And I can distinctly remember being a little girl sitting in my bed at night, sending up balloons of prayer, you know, sending up these prayers to God, usually something about going on at school or some boyfriend I wanted or whatever it was, but please make him love me. I think that was it. I don't remember it ever working. Oh, God. Boy, is that another story. Anyway. And it was only later that I realized that there is a really interesting relationship between how we experience our earthly father and how we experience our heavenly father. And my earthly father was absent. So guess what? I had an absent God. I had an absent God, and I was the abandoned child. You know, my notion of God influencing how I felt about myself. That's really one thing I'd love to have you get today, or just to contemplate that. And so later on, the oneness of life began to open for me through reading the American Transcendentalists, Whitman and Thoreau. And I was studying Eastern religion. I'd had a major loss in my life. And somehow one day the oneness of life presented itself to me in a blinding flash, except it wasn't blinding. It was the opposite of blinding. I was seeing for the first time. And the wholeness of life just opened to me like, wham, it was there. And I saw my place in the oneness of it all. And I have never forgotten since then. And so suddenly, God was no longer this being on the throne. It was a presence and a power that was a oneness that I was a part of. So I began to know myself as part of creation, part of creation. And then somewhere, the whole idea of transformative process kicked in. I think it started first with the poet William Blake, the English poet, because he wrote Songs of Innocence and Experience. And right within his writings, there was this whole idea of transformation. It also came through in astrology. I am a Scorpio. Scorpios have to make a decision really early on. Are they going to crawl or fly? And I think we all actually make that decision. Have to make that decision. Are we going to be like the creature that crawls along the earth with all that might mean to us? Or are we going to be the eagle that soars? And so I decided to go for the soaring because I saw what the crawling was all about. So then science of mind came in, and I began to understand God as a presence and power incarnated in me, so that I had a divine nature which I could choose to live or not. That I could stay stuck in my fear and my limitation, my belief in limitation, or I could keep taking steps along the path to rise into a higher realization all the time of that which I am. And of course, that's what I do. And also that God was a power and presence that responded to me by corresponding to my thoughts. That's the mental science part of our discipline. That as we think, so do we create. And so in that, God was a power for good that I could use in my thinking that allowed me to create my life the way I wanted to. Saw myself as creator. And now I'm kind of in a whole new space. and not new, it's just the next rung on the spiral, where I focus much more on not so much God is the power that I use, but that God is the power that uses me. And that I focus more on being where I am and how Spirit wants to express through me and trusting that, that I'm placed in the right place at the right time with the right people, like I'm trusting right this second that I'm saying something to you that will be of value to you. That's my highest prayer. And if God's on the job, then I'm in the right place and the words are the right ones too. And thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. And also, my focus is on living as God's love each day. And so I know myself as the portal through which God is expressing. So I just share that with you to prime the pump of your own thinking so that you can contemplate really how you have grown. And you have, you know, how you have been traveling this path of spiritual awakening, how your ideas of God have changed, and how you have changed as well. Because the two are intimately one. The more you know about God, the more you know about yourself, and vice versa. And another interesting thing is that our personal evolutionary path is taking place within the grander evolution of spiritual awareness on the planet. And on these banners on either side here, you have symbols of the world's religions. And the divine has always made itself known in the right culture at the right time for what was needed to be given for the light to be anchored in humanity. Make sense? The divine has always given through time in the right culture at the right time what needed to be given and understood so that ultimately the light could be anchored in us. Because we are the incarnation of the divine, at least that's what we believe. And so each one of these symbols, I'm only going to speak about a couple of them, but each one of these religions has been part of that process of all of us arriving at the vista point or the highest pinnacle so far, looking out over life. And so Judaism brought forth the awareness of the one God and the law. The Ten Commandments of the Law. This was extremely helpful to unruly humankind at the moment because under that consciousness and energy, we learn how to suit up and show up on time and perform jobs and keep our agreements and do the things that we need to do to be orderly, achieving people on the planet. Yes? And you all made it here on time today. So that was something about the law. Hinduism brought forward the revelation, self-realization, the realization of the divine self. Buddhism is about transcending the world and looking within and up to a higher reality. Christianity is about bringing that higher reality into incarnation on the earth. The Word became flesh. The Word of God, the divine idea of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And I'm just speaking to the traditions that have direct influence on science of mind, but Ernest Holmes was a reader of all the world's traditions, and so every one had its piece of light that he brought into science of mind. And that's awesome, isn't it? It's beautiful. And so new thought comes along, and what new thought contributed to it is first that thoughts are things, so that whole realm of mental science, that as we think, so do we create in our life. But also a profound linking of God and good. That God and good are one. That God is the good to which there is no opposite. And that is a beautiful legacy of science of mind. We are the inheritors of that. And Ernest Holmes received that. In fact, he said, there is only one life. This life is good. This life is God. This life is my life now. So he intimately linked the good of God and our personal life as the deep core and truth of our life. And then what he also added in is that God is a power and a presence and intelligence that honors our faith in it. And if you hear nothing else today, please hear that. That God is a presence, a power, an intelligence, and a love for good or of good that honors your faith in it. In other words, to have it active in your life, you have to have faith in it. You have to activate the presence and power of good in your life by honoring it with your faith. It's easy to have faith in the easy times. No problem. It's in the faithless times when everything speaks to everything but having faith that that's where we build it. And you can't have faith without having faith. Right? You can't have it without having it. It doesn't just arrive on the doorstep. It is something that we have to actively practice. And so you are here. I am here to realize this revelation of God on earth and to let the light of spirit be anchored as the truth of your being. So please say with me, the light of spirit is the truth of my being. The light of spirit is the truth of my being. Let's say it again. The light of spirit is the truth of my being. And one more time. The light of spirit is the truth of my being. And so there are three things that I would share with you today, along with everything else that I just shared, is that God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. We've heard those words before. That means that God, spirit, life, is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere equally present. So please say with me, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere equally present. And now say it like you're really letting the words come into your being. Next time, here we go. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere equally present. And one more time, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere equally present. And what I want you to know is that your life is included in that. It's not that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere equally present for everybody but you. And it isn't that 75% of your life is included in the all-knowing, everywhere equally present, and all-powerful, and 25 isn't. It's that all of you is enfolded and embraced in that reality because there is spirit and nothing else. There is spirit and nothing else. And that becomes available to you as you claim it. So that's the first thing. Omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, or God is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere equally present. The second one is that the highest God and the innermost God is one. Let's say that together. The highest God and the innermost God is one. That means that anything that you claim about spirit is already the divine truth of your being because the two are one. Because you are it. Say, I'm it.
I'm it.
You're it. You're it. And if you are up against a situation where you don't know what to do, say, omniscience of God,
show me what to do.
If you are in a position where you're feeling powerful, let's go back, rewind. Omniscience of God,
show me what I need to know.
If you're up against something where you're having trouble doing something, you feel powerless, say, omnipotence of God,
show me what I need to do.
And give me the power to do it. Okay? And omniscience of God,
everywhere equally present,
reveal yourself as a glorious good of my life. These things are available to you. God is a power that honors your faith in it. You have to turn to it, though, and actualize it. And we can think about how many times we're really honoring everything but this reality of spirit. So here's the third thing. Whatever challenge you're in, it does not fully and finally define you. That who you are is so much greater than anything that is challenging you right now. And yet the challenge is a call for you to practice this reality of God and nothing else. And I'll share with you that I had a difficult Lenten season, and I think it's because I was taking a class that threw me right into the teeth of the process. And the Lenten season is, of course, all about letting go of that which is in the way. So I noticed myself fretting. I'm not really a big fan of worry. I'm really not. I don't find it particularly helpful. Fretting. I was particularly fretting about my kids, my son and daughter. And I had been blessed or cursed with a high degree of self-witness. So not only was I fretting, but I was watching myself fretting, and then I was watching myself fretting. And on it would go. And I know the truth of wholeness in these two kids. I absolutely know. But then the mom stuff would take over, and I'd be in the fretting. And I will tell you that from moment to moment, I would fall into the worry. I would have to come back to the truth of wholeness. Come back to the worry, claim the truth of wholeness. Come back to the worry, claim to the truth of wholeness. And this is what our practice is. When you are in the middle of a deep challenge, it is the call to practice what you know. And God is a power for good that honors your faith in it. And I'll tell you that my crucifixion became my resurrection, and I am in a space of love and ease more than I've felt for a very long time. So I only share it with you because I know it works. We cannot be in the limitation, in the darkness, in the doubt, and in the fear, and expect a different result than what we already have. And it's moment-by-moment practice at the hardest times, absolutely the most difficult times. And that practice allows you to remember that the goodness of God is that which you are, that your life is the life of spirit right here on earth, that God is a good that honors your faith in it, and that anything can change. And so I invite you to close your eyes. And just take a moment to breathe into your heart center. Just feeling your breath as it moves in and out of your body, and begin to silently repeat to yourself the phrase, God is light. Over and over again, just in the silence of your being, God is light. God is light. God is light. And bring that awareness into your breath, knowing that your breath is a reminder of the very life of God entering your whole being. So feel yourself breathing in the light and the breath of God. This light coursing through your whole body, illuminating and healing it. And now add to the phrase, God is light and I am that. 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 And on the exhale, feel the light that has coursed through your being move out from you to bless this room, touching each person here, moving out all over Hillcrest and San Diego and all over California and ultimately all around the world. The light of truth, God is light, and I am that. And so we complete with these affirmations. Please repeat after me. God is abundance, and I am that. God is balance, and I am that. God is beauty, and I am that. God is freedom, and I am that. God is joy, and I am that. God is love, and I am that. God is order, and I am that. God is peace, and I am that. God is power, and I am that. God is unity, and I am that. God is wholeness, and I am that. And God is wisdom, and I am that. And just feeling the reality of these words of being moving into every single part and aspect of your sense of God and your sense of self, knowing the two are one. And how lovely it is to travel up the mountaintop together, pausing for a moment as we are on this day to see from the higher point of view, honoring and acknowledging ourselves for the journey that we have been on. and all the many gains along the way. Knowing that the top of the mountain stretches before us, and so onward we go, moving upward, knowing always that we are inviting the higher revelation of Spirit as the truth of who we are. It is a realization that never runs out. We just more and more welcome it deeply, more deeply, and more deeply into who we are and all we do. And so I give thanks for this day and for the presence of each one. So glad to travel the path with you all. And we release this word. I release this word, accepting blessings along the way, knowing it is done. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.